The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Hello.
I'm Larry Music.
Folks, this is David Duke on our new format. Still got to work out a little bit of the kinks, but we have a new format right now on the show. There's no commercial breaks. And part of that, folks, is the fact that you help us by patronizing the show. We're still way away from our goals for having this program even pay for itself, begin to pay for itself. But hopefully many of you will come on board, support this show, become a patron, go to davidduke.com and make a pledge toward this program to keep us on the air and keep us expanding and keeping our work going, because we're putting out a lot of great work. You're going to get commentary today on this show with the very erudite, intelligent, courageous Mark Collett of Great Britain. We're going to be talking about a number of subjects, and some of the subjects you can watch for today. One, we're going to be talking about the new incoming quote-unquote president, or why don't we just call him what he is, tribal dictator, who's coming into South Africa, and the first big pledge he's making is to confiscate all the land and property of the millions of white Afrikaners, the people who made that nation, whatever it is, whatever the economy is in terms of its strength, whatever the hospitals they have, the quality of those hospitals, whatever the quality of the education which has been made available for black people. And again, still today, South Africa is still the best country in all of Africa for black people. And it was made that way by the white people who came. In fact, the myths of that we hear every day in the media are so blatant and so disgusting. You know, most of South Africa, where the whites came into South Africa, were just massively empty spaces, a few Hottentots here and there. And white people came down there, built a great country. And then they faced what a lot of white people face. They had big borders and a lot of land around that. It was impossible to police it. And blacks from the black run areas, the primitive, almost Stone Age areas around South Africa, came into and merged into South Africa to enjoy the benefits of white civilization, the medical care they could get for their children, the education they could get for their children, the work they could get for their children. Everything was better than the black areas of South Africa or around that South Africa region. And they came in to the point where they outnumbered the people who built this great civilization. Over the past few decades, there have been tens of thousands of South African men, women, and children massacred, murdered, mangled, tortured, raped by these black radicals. I have a video called White Genocide in South Africa. We'll put that up on our program today for those who want to watch it. Be careful with that video because it's a very emotional video. It may bring a tear to your eye because it shows cases where grandmothers and grandfathers are slaughtered, where a grandmother, elderly woman, is tortured and raped while her 80-year-old husband, you know, is sitting there also tortured and forced to watch the rape of his wife of 60 years. We have many, many cases of children who are being butchered. But all the media wants to talk about in America or Europe is the Black Lives Matter and the fact that a few black criminals are shot by police, a tiny percentage of people. And even in America, even in Great Britain, there is far more violent attacks against non-white people in Britain by non-white people in Britain against the white indigenous Britons than there is the other way around. Massively differential. And yet that's not talked about. That's not a problem. You see, it's no problem to genocide white people. It's no problem to ethnically cleanse white people from the lands their own forefathers created. That's no problem at all. That's justice. That's social justice. You know, it's just really amazing to think about what's going on here. And so here we have an incoming black president. Everybody's all enthusiastic. We got out that real corrupt Zuma. How come all these black leaders about a corrupt? Look at Zimbabwe, which was once the great Rhodesia. But you see this, and what does the media say? Well, there's nobody saying that we should haul this guy out because it is a criminal offense. It is a world court, which South Africa's part of. It's a world court criminal offense to advocate the genocide or displacement or the massive deprivation of the rights of innocent people. And the incoming head of South Africa is saying openly that whites must have their land confiscated. So it's not even bad enough to confiscate the land, but we've had 40, 50, 60,000 white people massacred. And we're talking about people that are clearly massacred by genocidal blacks who are raping the children and the elderly and murdering people in their homes on these farms and ranches and so forth in South Africa, breaking into homes wherever there are whites in the country. It's not safe to go on the roads. It's just unbelievable. And yet we have a media that doesn't care about any of this stuff. And this goes on and on. And we always talk on this program about the root of this, who really does control the international media. Well, the same media that talked about how evil apartheid was, even though it actually made better lives for millions of black people than they have today in South Africa. They went from, blacks went from a country where if they got sick or if they had an injury or something like that, they can go to hospital with great care. You know, great doctors, to the point now where many of the hospitals in South Africa under black rule have a situation where there's not even a clean sheet. They have patients. They're often sleeping on mattresses that are coated with blood. And I hate to be so graphic here, blood and pus and dried urine and feces. And this is where the patients lay their heads, basically, and lay their bodies. We have absolute insanity in terms of crime. South African cities are the highest murder rate cities of the world. The only thing that's even close of non-African countries or is Brazil, which is basically Rio is a very much partially African city. In Rio de Janeiro has about 6,000 murders a year. They've been having that for years. These are the kind of realities that we're not allowed to talk about in the world. Another subject, and I'm going to let Mark go into any of these subjects he wants, and we can just kind of have a wide-ranging discussion in a minute. Another subject I want to discuss for a minute is the Olympics right now. And isn't it interesting that I watched a bit? I don't watch much television, but I wanted to watch the ice skating routine. And I love to watch these beautiful ladies get out on the ice and with a poetry, with the sense of ballet, plus incredible athletic prowess and magnificence. They go out there through the classical, in most cases, the classical and the great music of Western civilization. And they dance and they perform and they do triple axels and all sorts of incredible physical feats, all in the sense of art, beauty, choreography, and these women that do these events, they're just as beautiful as the events and the expression that they have artistically on the ice. And we had a great duel last night between two Russian skaters, both of them very beautiful, just the epitome of what you would talk about in terms of Western womankind and in terms of how they look and the beauty, their femininity is magnificent. at the same time, their abilities and their artistic presence was great. We've always understood that and recognized that. And when I was in Russia for quite a while teaching and studying for my PhD and working as a teacher, I often went to the Bolshoi Ballet, and this has been going on, of course, for hundreds of years. And the beauty of the women and these ballets is just incredible, and you see that on ice, and I was great to see it. Then I noticed, of course, they couldn't put the Russian flag up. Now, let me ask you a question, and I tell you what we'll do, Mark. Let's start off with this question of the Olympics. We'll go back to South Africa, and I'm also going to bring up a couple subjects in terms of a new call to destroy Al Jazeera, because it's one voice that exposes Israel, by the way, and exposes these Jewish groups who are trying to stop the disinvestment movement about Israel for their crimes. It's pretty amazing. And of course, these Jewish groups also talk about election interference by a foreign country and a foreign entity, an alien entity. You know, it's amazing. We talk about Russians spending $100,000 on Facebook in the presidential election, which probably had a negligible impact, right? But we have Jewish Zionists, radical Jewish Zionists, giving millions of dollars to presidential candidates and actually controlling the biggest lobby in America. And they don't want Al Jazeera exposing some of these Jewish groups and how they're doing things. We're going to talk about that. But let's start, Mark, with the thing with the Olympics. And let me give you my impressions first off. Supposedly, a number of Russians were using, quote, doping, that they were using unfair advantages in terms of athletic performance. Now, we know that this is widespread, not just among Russians. It's widespread among a lot of people. But for some reason, the Russians, and they found somebody who could attack Russia from the inside, and who also got tremendous financial rewards from the anti-Russian people. I really believe this is part of the whole process of demonizing Russia, because the Jewish establishment doesn't want Russia's position in Syria. The Jewish establishment and Israel itself has supported ISIS in Syria. They've supported Al-Qaeda in Syria. In fact, that's one reason why they're going against Al Jazeera right now, because Al Jazeera did an interview with the former head of the Mossad. We're saying, yes, well, we have aided these wounded Al-Qaeda fighters. But the guy says to the Al Jazeera interviewer, he says, but you have to understand that's not a problem, because the truth is Al-Qaeda has never attacked us. So what's wrong with us supporting Al-Qaeda? Well, maybe what's wrong is with Israeli supporting Al-Qaeda in Syria is the fact that Al-Qaeda, according to our government, caused 3,000 Americans to die and trillions of dollars of expense and so forth. I mean, it's unbelievable. Maybe that would be part of the reasons. But we have a situation where we have an American base. Now, supposedly America is not involved in Syria, but suddenly we come up with a base, and they're in another people's nation. They're in another nation, uninvited. They were supporting this and causing America and its proxies, and Israel was supporting the Saudis and supporting an invasion of Syria, this moderate secular nation that has a cabinet under Assad with Christians in it, with Sunni in it, moderate ones, and Shiite in it, moderate ones, but even Christians in their cabinet that have a secular government, one of the most advanced nations in the entire Middle East. And we were supporting the communist ISIS, not communists, but the radical ISIS people and the Al-Qaeda people in that country, and causing a war which cost hundreds of thousands of lives. It's just unbelievable. So here we go. You know, here we go. They don't like Russia. Russia is absolutely and has absolutely fought against our worst enemies. Of course, even our government has to admit this in many ways, ISIS and Al-Qaeda. The Israelis supported them. There's no argument about that. But any way they can humiliate Russia. And it was just a shame to see these Russian ice skaters. They couldn't even fly their flag. Now, let me ask you a couple of questions, and I'll start off with these points, and you can make some points. There's been a lot of scandals, obviously, in British athletics, too, in American athletics. We had Lance Armstrong, for instance, who, with the American team, we found out he doped for years in the Tour de France, which was the biggest cycling event in the world. Was America then banned from the Tour de France? I ask you that as a question, folks, just to be honest about it. Was America banned, even though this was an entire team effort of the American team there to do it? No, I don't think they were. In fact, they weren't, right? How about we're going to ban America? Let me ask you this. We had the Iraq War. I know that the Iraq War was based totally on lies. It was a total lie. Saddam did not have weapons of mass destruction. Our own government, after the war, after a million people die, and by the way, hundreds of thousands of Americans suffer traumatic brain injuries, have their lives destroyed, and we spend trillions of dollars of American treasure and American hard work and American taxpayers' money on a war based on lies and put our people in harm's way. After all this, right, it turns out it was all based on lies. Did the world and did the IOC then say, well, America, you know, after killing a million people in Iraq, we're not going to let their athletes fly into the flag because the American flag represents what that is. Did they do that? Now, folks, I'm not trying to say America should have been banned, and I'm sure not trying to say Russia should be banned. But where is the equity here? Where is the value here? This is happening, in my opinion, because of the Jewish power that doesn't like Russia's position. And it's really such a shame and such a dishonor. Those two girls couldn't proudly have their national banner and their national anthem be played about their victory. And by the way, one aspect of this thing, too, which is very interesting. There's no nation in the world that spends more money on athletics and more money giving its athletes huge contracts of advertising, gives them all kinds of money, endorsements, fame than America does. We have 330 million people in this country, right? 330 million people in this country. And to show you how I do believe, and this is one more example of America's going down, have you noticed the medal count recently? A little country called Norway, right? It leads the whole thing. Then Germany, another very small country compared to us, very small nation compared to us. They're way ahead of us. We're like fourth place right now in the Olympics. So, you know, and of course, the American presentation of the Olympics is just American athletes. They don't really show. I've seen the Olympics when I was in Russia, and I saw so many times American athletes as well portrayed. When I was in Germany, I saw German athletes portrayed, but Americans, they looked for the best of each sport. They really showed different countries. But when you turn on NBC, almost the only thing you see, except for a few exceptions like the ice skating, which is a big draw for them. That's the only reason they didn't even show it. It's because of the fact that ice skating's a draw, they show it. And there you have Russians that dominate the ice skating. But it's just so amazing to see the differences. And I think the reason for this, to a great extent, is because America has become, unfortunately, a proxy nation for Israel because the Zionists control our country. We bully the world. We put our own young boys in harm's way. We do all sorts of horrific things. Talk about interfering in elections, you know, but it's not for the interference of elections for the interest of the American people, because the people that run our government are the enemies of our people, as I believe the same thing is true in the British government. So, Mark, let's just start talking about the Olympics first. I want to get your take on it, and we'll go back to South Africa in the second part of the show.
Well, I can honestly say, when it comes to the Winter Olympics, I don't think I have watched a single minute of it. So it's not.
Well, you
really
should
my
see
thing.
That white. It's a white sport, man. You should definitely be. If you're watching any sports at all, you should be watching the Olympics.
Well, I think the one thing I did take note of, there was one particular Russian girl who was doing the curling, and she was very attractive. And the only reason I took any note of it was because I read the newspaper every morning. morning on my phone, and she was, I think she made the second story down on the Daily Mail, literally about the world was apparently entranced by this Russian beauty doing the curling. And I think I read that story just because she was so attractive. But other than that, I've never been a big fan of the Olympics. But I did know before it started that Russia had... they had basically been, the athletes weren't banned for competing, but they were banned from competing under the Russian flag. And I immediately knew this was obviously politically motivated. They hate Putin, and they hate Putin mainly because he is pro-family, he's pro-traditionalism, he's pro-moral values, and he's very anti-Western meddling in the politics, the educational system, and the media in Russia. And that's very interesting, you see, because we constantly hear that American politics is being influenced by the Russians. We constantly hear that, you know, someone spoke to someone who had a vaguely Russian sounding name, so CNN are going to do 5 hours of news about it in a single day, because any tenuous link and they jump all over it, as if Russia are the big bogeyman of the modern world. And we have to remember, we're talking about Russia here. We're not talking about the Soviet Union. The two are very distinctly different bodies. Russia as a country now is sort of pro-traditional, pro-Christianity, pro-moral values. It's not what the Soviet Union was. So it's very, very interesting that CNN would attack Russia like that. But the truth of the matter is actually very different. It's actually American forces who are usually the ones meddling in Russian politics, not the other way around.
And for Ukraine, example, and we can go on and on, right?
Throughout, yeah, I mean, it's George Soros' involvement in trying to influence Russian politics and, yep, and sort of create cracks so that the same kind of degeneracy that's destroying the West can seep into Russian life. But Putin is very, very sort of on the ball, shall we say. And as soon as these things start happening over there in Russia, he is very quick to stamp on them and to weed out these poisonous mushrooms before they take root and destroy the whole of his society. And I believe all of these things, like this scandal with the Olympians, it's not a scandal, really. There's always been doping in sports. And the problem is with sports, and this isn't an excuse for doping. Obviously, I go to the gym. Everyone knows about my assault courses, about my strenuous mountain biking courses, you know, 22 miles through Dolby Forest. Anyone that wants to join
me. Be careful on those mountain bikes. I've done that a bit myself. And the problem is that, yeah, I know you have the need for speed. And I tell you, you're coming down those mountains, it can really be hairy. You get a little going too fast and you go over one of those lips and you could be in a wheelchair the rest of your life. So we're thinking about you, buddy, and praying for you.
You don't need to pray for me. The worst bit's the going up the hill. Last time we went...
The hard is going up the hill, but the dangerous part is coming down the hill. That's the difference.
We went up the last time somebody tricked me into one of these mountain biking things, I was told it was a shorter course than we'd done previously. And it may have been shorter, but the first 8 miles were a constant uphill. And I can tell you, by the time I got to the top of the hill, I was the mardiest, moodiest, sullen person you could imagine. I was tired. I'd already got sunburn. I was half out of energy. And I had nearly run out of fluids. I had to drink from a stream like a mountain goat.
Oh, yeah.
And then nearly broke my neck on the mile descent, only to be told we had another 8 mile uphill before we had a final mile descent, and then we would be done. I was extremely grumpy when we got back to the car, but it was good. But back to the Olympics.
I can tell you a little story real quick before you go on. We'll get it back, give and take here. But you know, the... always people notice when I do sports and everything, they say, man, Duke, you get legs like tree trunks, you know, and it's just natural. I mean, I was just born that way genetically. I mean, I have natural large calves and large, powerful thighs. But let me tell you something. I got to take my hat off to you guys, because I would never make, I've done some mountain biking, but I would never try to make that my sport, because I don't know of anything more painful and more exhausting than going up a mountain on a bike. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable. And it doesn't even take an hour for me, after about 20, 30 minutes of really just pounding this, you know, with these high inclines, man, I feel like my thighs and my calves and all, they're just mush, you know. It's just like, they feel like ground beef rather than good striated muscle, you know, working in unison. How did you feel after that, you know, that 3 or 4 hours of going up that hill? I mean, isn't it when you get off the bike, isn't it sometimes even just hard to walk straight?
Well, the first time I really got into mountain biking, because I used to do a lot of road biking when I was younger, a friend took me to Dolby Forest, and we only had hardtail bikes, so there was no rear suspension. And I got halfway round the course, and I was so sore I couldn't sit down. So I had to do the sort of remaining 11 miles stood up. And the next day, when I went into work on the Monday morning, I couldn't sit down. I wish I'd had one of those blow up like air cushions, because I was so sore. It was unbelievable. It was hilarious because I could barely walk, but I pushed myself through it. And what I would recommend to anyone, if you are going to do proper mountain biking or trail biking, wear padded shorts that protect your bottom and have rear suspension, because if you don't have that, you literally do end up in so much pain, it's unreal. But when you overcome something like that, you do feel great. And this summer, I'll be doing all of that again. So if there's any young people in the UK listening who want to get in touch and would like to sort of sign up for a day of biking, come and join me, because it really is good. But just make sure your fitness is there. And if you want to get your fitness up, join a spinning class at the gym. Gyms are fantastic places to get in shape for the real world. And, you know, there's always a good chance of meeting nice women there as well. There's a lot of guys in the movement who want an attractive
that's always
girl.
Good.
Hit the gym, and they're the kind of girls you want to meet, because they're not out drinking, they're not out carrying on, they're not sat in front of the sofa like slobs. These women are out there,
and usually, you know, they're shapely and beautiful. And I always find that it seems like some of the best women, they just gravitate toward those kind of endeavors. By the way, I want to give a little advice to a lot of our young people that are listening, and over the years, in my experience, I lived, you know, in Austria for about 10 years on and off next to a ski slope. I used to ski almost every day. It was good weather for at least half an hour to an hour. And I've also done some hang gliding in my life. I've done some mountain biking in my life. And let me tell you something, folks. There's no question the two most dangerous, the most people that I've known that had injuries, including many serious injuries, there's two areas that I found the most dangerous of all. One, hang gliding. It's not hard for people that have been doing it for years, really experts, to end up dying hang gliding, especially, you know, even in the winter in these sports or in the summer. I've seen it again and again and again. And the other thing is mountain biking. And I just can't tell you how many friends I've had that have had very, very serious injuries, including a couple of them that died mountain biking, because the biggest muscle expenditure is when you're going up that mountain. And when you're coming back down, when you need the muscles to be the most reactive and the strongest, you don't have as much control. And it's split second timing, folks, when you're coming down these trails that are often switchback trails, and it's so easy to just get to go a little bit too fast. You get to go a little too fast and you go off that trail. And then you're going right down the side of the mountain, and it's so easy to have your head in a rock or, you know, break your spine or whatever. It is a very dangerous sport, and you just have to slow it down coming back down. Don't try to go faster coming down and risking yourself just for a little contest with a friend or whatever, or even in an athletic. It's not worth being crippled the rest of your life or having a concussion and being a vegetable, you know, sipping your dinner through a straw every night, you know, for the rest of your life. So those are the two things that I would suggest people, you know, really, it's just not worth it. The hang gliding from the mountaintops and the mountain biking when you come down and you're not really super careful with that. You make, again, you're on trails. I mean, you could even, no fault of your own, your bike can hit a rock or a little rut that you don't see. You're coming down at a pretty good speed, and that one little rut, that one little rock can throw off your wheel and puts you in a situation where you've ended your life or you've totally affected every minute of the rest of your life. That's just my little suggestion there.
Well, I'll be doing plenty of biking, but no hand gliding, so I'm safe.
Well, I don't mind you doing it. Just take caution. Make sure that the caution is the first thing. You know, it's not as important to win that race with your buddies as compared to get down that mountain safe. That's got to be the first consideration.
Yeah, I tend to find, generally, if you're doing technical downhills, you're not actually going that fast. You're usually stood on your bike. And as you're stood, you'll tend to be sort of very much in control with just trying to avoid rocks. It's you never really get huge, huge speeds. I have done a couple of times, but and so far, touch wood, I've not actually come off before. The closest I came to come off, I went into one of those spiky, horrible bramble bushes that seem to sort of punctuate the English countryside. That sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? My worst mountain biking injury, other than the pounding that my bottom took that time, was actually going into a bramble bush. So that's quite.
But I can count on many hands. Really good friends that have really horrific mountain bike accidents, and almost always it is coming down. And you went through a bramble bush, but you could have just as easily been into a boulder. You know what I mean? And maybe it'd be an entirely different situation. Just be careful, man. We love you, and we want to keep you healthy and happy and fulfilled. Okay, let's go back to the Russian thing. But so the hypocrisy about all this, you know. You know, you talk about this doping situation. I read another report the other day, and it seemed to be from a major source. It was even mentioned in one of the things about the number of American athletes. American athletes, actually, in all sports, everything, not just bodybuilding, but everything from powerlifting, boxing, all these different sports, 10 times more American athletes have been sanctioned or banned or are punished for doping and other illegal physical enhancements, 10 times more Americans in the last 20, 30 years. I'm talking about.
Can I cut in there a second, David? Wasn't there a black? I remember when I was a youngster, there was a very famous black 100 meters runner from America. And at the time, he was meant to be the next big thing. And wasn't he. That because obviously
yeah,
100
yeah.
meters and
wasn't
in the Olympics
leading,
is
the female runner. What was her name? Who had the big doping scandal? Medals were taken. I mean, we can go on and on about this. But for some reason, when the Russians do it, we're going to make sure that no Russian athlete, even the ones not in any way,
Ben Johnson.
Yeah, exactly. Who was the woman that was the convicted of the doping? I mean, you see, that's the difference, though. You know, it's like. You look at, you know, there's no question that this was not the majority of Russian athletes, and there's no question. So all these other Russians who had no part in any sort of doping, right, they can't even watch the flag of their country up there. You know, I mean, this is unbelievable, but I really believe that when it comes to Jewish issues and these Zionist issues, this is what counts. What is the country's position on the issues that they think are important to them? And man, they just go for it. Let's go to South Africa. How about? Because I know you got a lot of thoughts on that. The British have always paid a lot more attention to South Africa because of their role and involvement in the region for so many years than Americans do. So give me your take on the new incoming president of, and I'll put that in quotation marks, terms by this dictatorial party. So what was your thought about this and his latest announcements that they're just going to take all, just steal and take the land, dispossessed? I mean, that's called ethnic cleansing, folks. The land of the African, of the South African white people who have been responsible for the fact that South Africa has fed not only their own people, but much of the world, and has been responsible for the incredible agricultural and ranching and physical thing, as well as, by the way, they've been behind the incredible conservation movements to preserve the wildlife of Africa, while the black-run nations of Africa, we're seeing a destruction and extinction of many of the most beautiful creatures and species of all Africa.
Well, I think what you've got here is you've got a nation that's slowly disintegrating, and
as the nation's disintegrating, you've got a population which is getting angrier and angrier and angrier, and they want someone to blame. And the only people they can blame, because they're not going to blame themselves, you see, because they've built this new South Africa on the idea that, in fact, black people will run the country in a more efficient way, that it is their country to run, that they're going to do a great job. And this new sort of multicultural black-run South Africa is going to be far better than the white apartheid South Africa that used to exist. Now, as it's going wrong, who can the black population blame? Well, they blame Jacob Zuma and they got rid of him. But the, you know, the new president, he knows he's not going to be able to fix the problems. He knows that corruption is endemic. I mean, their second biggest city, Cape Town, is going to run out of water. They have a water crisis. They are mismanaging everything. So the easiest way to turn eyes away from the problems and to keep people happy in the short term is by saying, we're going to make you all richer. We're going to give you land. We're going to give you the farms. We're going to give you the means of production. And when they do, that is only sowing the seeds of the final destruction of South Africa. Because I know for a fact that once these farms are taken out of the hands of the white farmers, let's just put the whole injustice of that out the way for a short period of time, because that is a huge injustice. But putting that injustice out of the way, when these farms are taken away from the white farmers, some of those farms have been in the hands of these people since the 1600s. And essentially, what you are going to get, I think it's the 1600s. I think I read that. I might be wrong. If I'm wrong about that, you know, please correct me. But
mostly from the 1700s on. But yeah, you're right. So it goes back that far.
Goes back a long way. Either way, you know, one way or the other. But what we've got here is a situation where people who have been farming that land for a huge number of generations and are experienced farmers, know what they're doing and are committed to that job, are going to be dispossessed and their farms are going to be given to people who don't know what they're doing. Now, these people are going to be very happy in the short term, but in probably one or two seasons, two's probably pushing it to the extreme limit, these farms, which used to be the breadbasket of not just South Africa, but of the whole of Africa, because South Africa and before it Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe, were the big producers because they were the white countries or the white run countries. These farms will be producing nothing. And you will not just have a water crisis in Cape Town, but you will have a water and food crisis across the whole of South Africa. By getting rid of these white farmers, they are sowing the seeds of their own destruction. And that's a very interesting point. Now, obviously, there's the injustice. This is sickening. And the fact is, if any other ethnic group were being dispossessed of their land without any compensation, the UN would have stepped in immediately.
And murdered by the tens of thousands.
Target. Yes.
Man, woman, and child. You know, it's unbelievable.
But I've got to say this as well. And I've got to say this. And this is actually not my saying, but it's something from a good mutual friend of ours, the good King Arthur. He once said to me, when discussing white South Africans, he says there's a problem with white South Africans in that they would rather be murdered in their own beds than have to wake up and face the prospect of making their own beds in the morning. And there is a certain degree of truth to that. And my advice for the white farmers and the white landowners in South Africa is that you need to stop relying on cheap, black, servile labor. Do not have these people in your house. Do not have these people around your children, because the majority of these farm murders, the majority of these horrific crimes, take place at the hands of people who have been welcomed in to white-owned farms and white-owned homes, and often have been treated like family. And the whites that are left in South Africa need to start thinking on a very racially conscious level and need to start thinking along the lines of a white European ethno state in South Africa. And I really think they need to think twice about utilizing cheap black labor, which often turns on them in the most bloody way possible. I mean, I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Well, I'm just, first of all, I'm just very shocked about your comments, Mark, because don't you understand that South Africa was really Wakanda, and they had all this advanced science and medicine and everything, and the whites came in and covered all that up, stole it from them, and that's why South Africa became such a great country of all of Africa, of any country in Africa. They had about the same gross national product as the rest of the whole continent together, right? That's why that happened. It's because they stole that from those advanced space-traveling Negroes of Wakanda. Don't you understand? So I'm really shocked that you would say such racist things.
Okay. Well, I did go and see the Black Panther the other night, and I have done a review of it, so I'm pleased you mentioned that. If anyone wants to check out my review of the Black Panther, they should go.
Black Panthers, they're a great organization. They even show pictures of these guys in the Black Panther leather jackets. These guys were drug dealers, murderers, not just white people killing each other, police officers. I mean, just unbelievable. And they were communists. So basically, the subtle message is that all young people, that, you know, the Black Panthers are people of glory and greatness and courage, and, you know, they're the good guys, right? Anyway, let's go on to the next little subject that I really wanted to get to that is pretty important. And this kind of shows the hypocrisy of everything. There's an article in the Jewish Journal. I just found this. And the headline is, quote, "Lawmakers call on Trump administration to investigate Al Jazeera for spying on Jews." And it's all about the fact that Al Jazeera actually went in with you know, hidden cameras to the ADL and these other organizations, showing how that these illegal activities of the ADL and all these other groups in terms of trying to stop the freedom of speech and the thought of those that want the disinvestment movement in the United States. Now, listen to these words. "A couple of congressional lawmakers are calling on Attorney General Jeff Sessions to launch an investigation into Al Jazeera for their spy operation against American Jews. In a letter to Sessions, Representative Lee Zeldin," I wonder what he is. Maybe he's a Wakandan, I don't know. "Josh Gottheimer, Democrat, New Jersey, argued that Al Jazeera should register as a foreign agent under the Foreign Agents Registration Act, FARA, given that the news outlets spreads propaganda from the Qatar government throughout the United States of America." Man, isn't this like them? They always cry in pain as they strike you, as it's been said many times. I mean, we all the major networks are under Israeli occupation. They all should be registering. The New York Times, which is owned completely and totally by Jewish Zionists who support Israel, they should register under the Foreign Agents Registration Act. The editor of the Washington Post should register under the Foreign Agents Registration Act. His parents were immigrants from Israel. He's talked about his devotion to it. CNN is Mr. Zucker, who says he lives and breathes for Israel. And here they're talking about Al Jazeera, and I'll tell you why. Let me play this for you. I think you've heard this one before, but we're going to play this one more time. Listen to this. This is why they want to suppress Al Jazeera. This was an interview with the Mossad, the former chief of the Mossad in Israel, talking about how that Israel was rescuing ISIS and Al-Qaeda fighters in Syria and returning them back to the front so they could kill more Christians. Listen to this, folks.
"Say no preference. There have been reports that Israel has been treating wounded Syrian rebel fighters in its hospitals on the border, including fighters from Nusra Front, which is, of course, the Al-Qaeda proxy in Syria. Do those reports worry you, that Israel's helping wounded Al-Qaeda-aligned fighters?"
"As I said before, in a different context, it's always useful also to deal with your enemies in a humane way. And I think that when you have people who are wounded and you can deal with them in a humane way, the considerations as to whether to take them in are not simply whether it's politically useful or whether it's politically...
So it's purely humanitarian, you say? So there's no tactical or political strategic...
I didn't say there's no tactical. I said the main consideration, the immediate consideration is humane.
But the tactical issues involved, I mean, you know better than me the phrase blowback. You don't think there's going to be blowback against Israel if you get into bed with a group like Nusra Front?
No, I don't think so. I don't think there's going to be blowback.
Why?
Because I think that, unfortunately, the rules of the game in Syria are such that you can do anything that is not possible to be done anywhere else.
Yeah, I think people said that in Afghanistan too. Would you also treat Hezbollah fighters?
No, I would not treat...
Have you not just contradicted what you told me 60 seconds ago?
No, I'm not
contradicting. But humanely treating your enemies?
No, no. I think as far as Hezbollah fighters are concerned, with them we have a different account.
So let me be clear, you're happy to treat Al-Qaeda fighters, but not Hezbollah fighters.
We have a different account with Hezbollah, a totally different account, because Hezbollah has carried out the type of actions against us which preclude us from going into what the Al-Qaeda has done. Al-Qaeda, to the best of my recollection, has up to now not attacked Israel.
But it's attacked your number one ally and protector and sponsor in the United States of America. There is a quote-unquote war on terror being going on for 15 years.
When it comes to fighting Al-Qaeda in intelligence and in other areas, yes, we are together with the United States on all these things.
Okay.
But Israel was not specifically targeted by Al-Qaeda, and therefore it's a different kind of account than we have with Hezbollah.
Okay, there you go. How about that, Mark? Isn't that amazing? No wonder they want
to make... Who's interviewing him? Is it Piers Morgan?
No, it was actually one of the Al Jazeera people. And they were interviewing... This is a guy, the former head of the Mossad, right? So he's admitting that Israel was aiding, Al-Qaeda terrorists, right? They were actually bringing them to hospitals in Haifa and Tel Aviv and all these things, treating their wounds and putting them back into the fight so they could go kill more Christians and moderate Muslims. This is Al-Qaeda. This is the same Al-Qaeda that did 9/11, for God's sakes. This is supposed to be our ally. Didn't we invade Afghanistan with a lot of British troops, too, because of Afghanistan's, quote, protection, or because bin Laden was simply in Afghanistan? Here you have the nation of Israel absolutely treating Al-Qaeda terrorists, supporting Al-Qaeda, right? And ISIS, by the way. And they're doing both of that. And then we call Israel our oldest ally. I know they call Israel the ally of Great Britain, too, even though Israel was founded through terrorism against Great Britain. How do you feel as a son of Britain when you consider that Israel, which your nation's supporting, terrorized, murdered, assassinated, and blew up British soldiers in the creation of their terrorist establishment in the state of Israel, like blowing up the King David Hotel, which was run by the British Army?
Well, I think everyone knows my opinion on Israel, and if I'm being quite honest, I am not as bothered about Israel's historic crimes against the British as I am about their modern day crimes against the British. What happened at the King David Hotel was horrific, but what they're doing now is far worse by aiding and promoting this huge stream of migrants into Europe. We are not just seeing a small loss of life or a relatively small loss of life over a short span of time. We are seeing the genocide of the European people. We are not just seeing the loss of British life, but we are seeing the loss of all the European peoples, and this process is something that is fast becoming irreversible, and that's why we have to act so quickly. And I've done a full-length presentation on my YouTube channel about the way that Israel has repeatedly meddled in the Middle East. Specifically, I focused on the war in Iraq, and I categorically showed how the war in Iraq was largely a war for Israel, that the people who paid for that were American service personnel, British service personnel, and of course hundreds of thousands of innocent Iraqis. But equally, when those wars are initiated, the European people pay a second time, not just by losing troops there, not just by spending billions in
military spending and then aid rebuilding the country, but we pay a second time when the displaced people from Iraq then flood across our borders, and they are largely aided by Israel in doing so.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and we can see the headlines. I mean, here's a perfect example. Here's one from Ynet News saying asylum seekers sent to Sweden in previous weeks, where Israel doesn't accept any asylum seekers. So guess what they were doing? They weren't sending them back to some African country. They were sending them to Sweden. Here's another one from Jewish World, Ynet News, one of the biggest websites in Europe. And the headline is, Islamification of Europe is a good thing. Rabbi Branch Aradi believes Jews should rejoice at the fact that Europe is paying for what it did to us for the hundreds of years of by losing its identity. He praises Islam for promoting modesty and respect for God. Now, this guy is not condemned by Ynet News, the biggest website in Israel, by Jewish leaders. No, he's honored. And they print and publicize his view, saying that, isn't it great that Europe is being destroyed? Here's a big headline from JTA. Which is a Jewish telegraph agency. European Jews, mindful of the risks, urge aid to refugees. I mean, we can just go on and on. Here's another one from another major Jewish association in America, the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, and it says, it's in the Jewish interest to allow open borders into America. But for some reasons, it's not in the Jewish interest to allow open borders into Israel. No wonder they want to shut down Al Jazeera. But think about it, Mark, and think about it, folks. Imagine, why is it that in none of our so-called free media in America, our unaffected media, why is it that not a single network, not a single publication on Fox News or any network even ran this news that Israel was actually aiding Al-Qaeda, America's worst enemies, ISIS, which was killing thousands of people and supporting them in Syria? Why would that not be aired? And no wonder they want to close Al Jazeera or any other force that dares to tell the truth. Well, folks, that's it. Mark, thanks so much for being with me. It closes out a great week to have you on Friday.
Thank you for having me.
Talk to you soon. And folks, again, go to davidduke.com, become a patron for this work. We're in a new system, and pretty soon, in a couple of weeks, we'll be running around the clock, these programs. So how about that? So whenever you could just want to, you're going to go to an app, you can go to the website source, and you can listen to a roundtable of these programs. And we appreciate your help in making this possible for all of us. Thanks so much. See you on Monday. Until then, just keep thinking free, and let's go take our nations back. Love you. Bye.